Hello, everybody. This is Dave Custy. You're on Baltimore Internet Radio, and this is a program called Healthcare and Its Future. And my guest today is Edel Blumberg. Edel is a Reisterstown, Maryland resident and American Cancer Society volunteer recovery coach. He calls himself a 2.5-time colon cancer survivor. He has had 2 bouts of colon cancer and recently underwent a colectomy. Edel was at high risk for colorectal cancer due to having colitis as well as inflammatory bowel disease since he was a teenager. However, he neglected some of his regular checkups and colonoscopies and was diagnosed at age 47 with a grade 3 tumor, which began his battle with colon cancer. Edel founded the Semicolon Club, dedicated to outreach and raising awareness of colon cancer. He has inspired many Baltimoreans to be screened and find colon cancer as early as possible. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Edel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Talk a little bit about yourself. Give us a little short bio here.
I lost my hair when I was 12, but I don't think that's what you want to hear about.
It's a good start.
That's a good start. You know, my bio doesn't really say it all when I try to explain to people what I do and why I do it and where I am today. Living with inflammatory bowel disease at a young age is a tough deal because when you're young and you think you're immortal, all it does is get in your way more than anything. It doesn't really make you conscious about, I better stay on top of this and I better do what's right medically and so forth. So for pretty much all my life, I ran and hid. I tried my best, although I suffered, to just not let it become a part of my life that ruled my life. Whether that was going to college and dropping out, whether that was playing ball and quitting teams, whether that was socializing and staying home for the weekends when friends were out, those all were things I had to go through. So why I do what I do is real simple. I don't want my story at age 58 to become anybody else's story, plain and simple, because colon cancer is definitely preventable, it's definitely treatable, and it's definitely beatable. But if you screw up, you could wind up in a position where it's not all those things. And that's really my story because I'm lucky in some sense that I'm here because I wasn't given a great degree of success to live 9 years ago when I was going through my second bout with a 6-9% chance of survival. And a year and a half ago when they told me I had high dysplasia. And what does that mean in the medical world? That you're a doorstep away from cancer, and I'm going to get my third bout from colon cancer if I don't have my colon removed. I don't want that story to become anybody else's story because they need not have to live through what I lived with.
Okay, well, let's back up a little bit. When you first had an inflammatory bowel disorder, what was that like as a kid?
It's a stigma. It's embarrassing. You're not going to sit around talking with your friends, your ball playing buddies, the guys hanging out with you, the girls you're picking up, whatever it might be, about your bowel issues, about the difficulty you have digesting food or drinking certain things or stress related things, how it changes you.
Stress exacerbated everything.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you're put in high pressure situations, which I was as a youth, my parents divorced when I was young, 13. I didn't know any friends of mine that had divorced parents. Here I was sick. I didn't know anybody who had those kind of problems. And you weren't going to sit down with your family or your friends and talk about your bowels. Yeah. And so for me, it was a big ordeal and hurdle. And I think for tons of people out there, it is as well. I once heard a quick story about a mom talking to her son. He played 2 sports, soccer and basketball, 12 years old. And she said, we have to make a decision on which sport to play. They're during the same season. Which one are you going to choose? And he chose basketball. And she asked him why. And he said, because there's a bathroom. Well, people 12, 15, 25, nobody, but especially when you're young and impressionistic, should have to live that way. So for me, that's my biggest challenge that I had when I was young.
So you would be in social situations and you would have to quickly go find a bathroom and would you have like intense pain?
Intense pain. You couldn't hold down food. It's a lot worse than what you just painted it, trust me. It's not that you looked for a bathroom. It's the way you lived your life looking for that bathroom. I would walk into a bar when I was in my 20s, not looking to pick up a girl, but looking to scout out the bathrooms.
Right.
How many were they? Did they have doors on them? Did they cost money? You know, that's not the way to live your life. And so that's why my motto is, let not have my story become someone else's story.
You talked about your friends. Did you have a couple good friends that understood your situation and kind of stayed with you?
I certainly had friends that understood what they were told. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I didn't tell them much.
No. But they understood if you had to leave quickly or whatever.
They didn't. Because you know what I say, Dave, and when I do a lot of my talks, wherever I might talk, in Baltimore, in Maryland, in D.C., whether I've been interviewed, I always say you don't know what a person goes through unless you walk a mile in their shoes. So I could tell someone how I felt. Mm-hmm. I could share with someone how I felt. But unless they walked a mile in my shoes, they didn't know exactly how I felt. And I probably wasn't real good at expressing that. I was great at helping others. I wasn't great at helping myself. The ironic part of me today is I strip myself down completely, sharing everything I can with everybody. And if I had done that when I was younger, I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. But I was not that kind of person. I kept a lot inside. And that exasperates things as well, because you really don't have a release point.
You lived in a time where that was happening more times than people really talking about it, too.
Any disease. I mean, who talked about cancer 45 years ago? It was the big
exactly.
C. It wasn't even cancer.
And you whispered.
I didn't talk about inflammatory bowel diseases, and today, absolutely, it's more talked about. You see commercials.
But something like that is very embarrassing, too, in terms of 45 years ago.
Yeah.
You could talk about lung cancer and everything and talk about bowel disease.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it was non gratis for sure. I just had a hard time. And you know, if you hold a lot of that in, like I said, it's only going to make it worse, which it did for me. And if you're fool enough to believe that it just goes away, inflammatory bowel disease does not go away. It gets better. You could get it under control.
Mm-hmm.
You can have good times and bad times, but it isn't going away. And for anybody listening out there, I hope millions of people listen to your show. I hope they understand that.
Yeah.
It does not go away. And you have to stay on top of it. And if you don't, you're going to wind up. It's not an automatic prescription for cancer, but it is definitely a precursor and lends you to a higher chance of getting colon cancer if you suffer from Crohn's, colitis, inflammatory bowel, things like that.
Well, of course, there's meds for it now. Is it still that you never know when it's going to arise? Or does the meds really take it down a bit or give you a little bit more?
It can give you some relief, but if you talk to people who've been taking meds for a period of time, your body can also become somewhat immune to it. So there's not just one pat answer for somebody who suffers from inflammatory diseases. Okay, take this medicine and you're going to be better. I've talked to so many people who took something for a long period of time, did great, improved, were doing, you know, dramatically better, and then all of a sudden their body becomes immune to it, and they're back to square one trying something else. And that's not uncommon. That is not uncommon.
But let's backtrack. Yeah. We're going to get more into this, but I want to still talk about your personal life. Now, you talk about when you were a kid and your friends, too, and your parents divorcing. What about your young adult life? Talk a little bit about that and your family now.
Everybody's got a dysfunctional life to some degree. Maybe mine was just a little more than the normal, I should say. It was a little bit more abnormal. But again, the burden falls on my shoulders, nobody else's. If I had gone to my parents, if I'd gone to my friends, if I had been a lot more open about it, I'm sure I could have gotten some good wisdom and some good direction. But that didn't happen. And as I got older, it interfered with your social life because, like I said, you could walk into a bar and somebody wants to befriend you and you're more anxious to get to the bathroom or find out if the bathroom's in use and kick down the door if it cost a dime and you didn't have one. As I got older, I stayed on top of things, you know, married with kids, but like all kind of people that, like myself, think that things are going to get better, you go through a period of time where it is doing, you know, your body is doing better and you think, oh boy, maybe I'm cured. And that's just a mistake because you're not. And I that's exactly what I did. I waited too many years to then feel some symptoms that were abnormal, and only to find out too late that it was, it's progressed into the cancer stage.
Just talk about your family now.
I came from parents that were a little older. So I think that generation gap was even a little bit greater than it is like today. I mean, with my two kids, my two girls, I think we're a lot more open about things that are going on. I think we're a lot more honest. I don't know if that generation that, you know, my parents came through were. No. I think there was a little bit more of a repressed feeling about discussing important things like that. But, you know, I was like everybody. I just tried to have a good life. I had fun, and I played and ran and, you know, did all the things you're supposed to, but not as much as I could have and not as in a good way as I could have. I can remember guys who would say to me, well, why didn't you play for basketball? You're a pretty good basketball player. Well, I would just BS them and tell them, I thought the coach stunk. I'm not going to play for him.
And talk a little bit about your wife and kids. You started talking about your kids and all, but like, how did you meet her, and what was it like telling her about your condition?
Well, I've been married for 31 years, 32 in July. Two girls, 26 and 22.
They're adults now, too.
Oh, yeah. And my wife knew about it. I met her. I was living with a friend of mine. She didn't know the extent of what things were. And I don't think, like I said, you actually do until you walk that mile in her shoes. But my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer 19 years ago.
Okay.
So she's gone through that journey at a lot younger and sooner age than I had.
And how old was she?
She was, I want to say, around 36, 37, something like that. So then I got sick again. And guess what? She got sick again. Second bout with breast cancer about 6 years ago. So a lot of credit goes to her blazing the trail, if you will, of setting the tone of how one has to handle difficult news like that. The toughest part is having your kids that don't quite understand, and you don't know how much you really want to tell them and share with them. But at the same time, you want to be as open as you can, but the protective part of you is such that you want to, be careful how much you tell them because they're so young and impressionable. But, my kids both have inflammatory issues. I want them to stay on top of that. I beg and plead that they'll hear that message, that my story doesn't become their story. And, my wife, like I said, and I have learned how to be advocates, and she was certainly a big advocate for me, and I probably would have been a lot smarter if I'd have listened to her a lot sooner when she was banging on me to, get myself checked, and I was telling her, I'm fine, because I think I know what I'm talking about, and I don't. So back then, at least.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Things happen in life, and it's not woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's start now, and then what you're going to do, and what you're doing with the semicolon club, which we'll get there in a minute. But I want to talk briefly about getting a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's had such bad connotations, and I've had two of them. My father had colon cancer, we were talking about off air, and no, it's not really that bad, really. I mean, it cleans you out, and it's a little bit uncomfortable at first, but you don't really know what's going on and when it's happening. And it's a lot different than when I had it 10 years ago than when, or 15 years ago when I had it about 5 years ago.
Sure.
So remarkable. It's going to be remarkably different 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
talk about your experience.
Well, when you're young, anything like that is difficult to undertake. I mean, I used to have not full-blown colonoscopies, but endoscopies right there in the doctor's office. They put you in this kind of chair. I don't want to paint a terrible picture here, but, you'd bend down, and they'd just scope you from there. Yeah. Talk about uncomfortable. There's no prep. It's just flat-out uncomfortable. So the more you live with those kind of remnants of what it was and what it's going to be, the more not real excited about doing you become. But let me clear the air with anybody out there. Colonoscopies are so benign, such a benign test, that I would tell them if I was looking them straight in the eye that you're a fool if you don't get it done. Your prep that a lot of people are afraid of is nothing. Like you said, you drink some stuff. You clean yourself out for a whole day, not to be gory, which isn't a bad thing for anybody. And they put you to sleep, and you wake up 20 minutes later, and you look at the clock, and you say, when is it going to start? And they say it's over.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens.
And it's just amazing. And it gets a bad rap. And nobody would hate doing it more than me. I'll never have to do another colonoscopy because I've had my colon removed a year and a half ago. But I've had 50. So I talk from experience.
Right.
So if somebody says to me, yeah, well, I've walked that walk. They're really nothing. They're benign.
Yeah.
And it's life-saving. Because if you listen to the American Cancer Statistics as a recovery coach for the American Cancer Society, I talk to people all over the country and even all over the world that have been diagnosed with colon cancer and want to talk to someone. And as a recovery coach, I can spout out statistics such as stage one colon cancer, if discovered, you have 80 to 90% chance of survival. Stage two, 70% chance of survival. Stage three, 60% chance of survival. So your odds are dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now comes the dramatic part. What's stage four? You'd think it'd be 50? You think it'd be 40? How about 6 to 9% chance?
Good Lord.
So here's for those people out there listening who are thinking, okay, if I have to, I'm going to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have to deal with it because your odds decrease each time or every time you let it go a little further and it gets to a stage that it shouldn't be. When I was diagnosed 12 years ago, stage three, that was scary enough. 3 years after that, when they tell you you have a second bout at stage four and you got a single-digit chance of survival, that's frightening.
Yeah.
That's why the slogan is preventable, i.e. get your colonoscopy, treatable, i.e. if you do happen to unfortunately get diagnosed with it, you can treat it,
right?
Like I have, and beatable. I will never die from colon cancer. My colon's gone, unfortunately, but I will never die from colon cancer. So I beat it. I beat colon cancer. I beat the odds. I beat the statistics. Anybody out there listening can do the same if, God forbid, they ever to incur that just by doing the colonoscopy, cutting it off at the pass, and never having to go down that path. So colonoscopy is very benign.
And you should get it after you're 50, right?
Well, here's the rule.
If you don't have a history.
If you don't either have if you're not predisposed to it, i.e. you have a family history, if your mother, father, brother, or sister, any siblings had colon cancer, if you don't suffer from any kind of disease that is a precursor, like an inflammatory bowel, and you don't see any symptoms, blood in your stool, cramping, loss of weight, things of those natures, then 50 is the kind of magic number that they use. But just like women who go for mammograms, they tell you a certain age. But if you're doing a self-examination and you were to discover something that doesn't feel right, I would hope you're not going to sit there and say, well, I don't have to go till I'm 50. Go get a check because
better to be sure.
I'm a firm believer that advocacy is so key. If you don't advocate for yourself, nobody will.
And you do get it if under 50. People have gotten it under 50.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a higher degree, of course, as your body gets older. But I once heard of something that a friend of mine told me. He's an optometrist. You know how your eyes start to go bad, especially when you get to like the 40s, they tell you. Well, he told me this as a matter of fact. Every single person, human being's eyes, not that this has anything to do with colon cancer, but every single person's eyes will start to deteriorate around the age of 40. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them. The lenses in the back of your eyes, the filters.
Mm-hmm.
That's why optometrists and glasses will never be out of business.
No.
So our bodies are the same way. Yeah, our bodies are the same way.
Yeah.
Age 50s and things of that nature, whether it's men for prostate, every human being for colon cancer, or women for breast cancer. But as I back up, let me just also stress, colon cancer is not a man's disease.
Mm-mm.
It's a 50-50 almost split down the middle disease. There's a lot of misnomers about that. And either is breast cancer. I know it's very rare, but men can get breast cancer. So, and I've talked to people who have had it. So, again, it's right. like anybody else. At a certain age, you know, there's supposed to be a benchmark of when you get tested. But if you have any symptoms, right. family history, get it done before.
Well, that's why I mentioned it, because I knew you knew the specs of it. But everybody, don't wait till you're past 50 to do it, really. At 50,
no.
at least, you know?
You know, you don't have 12 hours for me to talk, but I can tell you all kinds of stories.
Maybe down the road.
I just met with a guy a couple months back who's dating a relative. Mm-hmm. And I have this walk every year for my semicolon club, and she had participated in it and came, told her boyfriend about it. We had some dinner. We got to talk, and he'd never been for colonoscopy. I think he's 54.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I scared him into it. He went.
Good for you. Yeah.
And guess what?
He had
it? Stage 3 colon cancer.
Oh my.
He's going through treatment right now. Good news is he's going to make it. Bad news is he has to go through it. But the better news is our conversation may have saved his life.
Right.
Because he was 54, never have gotten mm-hmm. one. And he could have waited to 55 or 56. And then maybe it's too late. Colon cancer typically slow growing. Colon cancer is typically slow growing enough that that's why you can right. catch it early.
And that's but why if they say have one every 5 years.
Yeah, whatever your doctor says. Yeah. There's some say 3, some say 5, some say 7, some say 10. Just get it done.
Well, I was actually playing devil's advocate there because I believe in it. We talked. Yeah. I had it when in my 40s. But people will come up and say, oh, I don't need it before 50, and I don't like that. But you give them a good reason and good talking to about that.
Yeah.
And one little thing I wanted to add in terms of the colonoscopy itself. Afterward, you feel really good.
Yeah. No. I don't want to scare away your audience, but the propanol they use is not a bad –
And it wears off with no ill effects and all, but it is, you have somebody, you bring somebody with you.
You can't drive without it. But it is the best sleep.
The whole process, not including the prep, is only a couple hours. You know, it's not that much at all. You go in, you get it done, you don't realize it's over and it's done. You think, geez, okay, and you go back. And everybody's beautiful.
And it's, I mean, again, the bottom line is it saves your life. Listen, if someone out there has a death wish.
Exactly.
And they don't really care about that, and you know they're just going to bury their head in the sand. Then shame on you. But that's where they wind up going through life, like I've had to go through. I mean, to go through two bouts of colon cancer, 1,500 hours of chemotherapy, two bowel resections, giving up a couple years of your life doing that, losing jobs and switching jobs. And then having to face a third bout where you have to have your whole colon removed along with your rectum and your everything else that goes with it. I mean, it's just not the place I want to be. So if anyone out there is listening to a show like yours, Dave, that sends the message and gets people on to advocate, be smart. Take the steps. And be an advocate. Right. Then the worst thing that happens is you take, like you said, a couple hours of your life to find out you're okay.
You're okay, right. You know? Exactly. Very good.
Unless you don't want to live that long life. And hopefully most of us do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, here's the big question now. What's your status currently?
Well, like I said, a year and a half ago I had a colectomy, which for the layman's out there who might not understand means that it's an ileostomy where you have your colon completely removed along with other parts of it. You live with a something to allow your waste to fall into, or what commonly referred to as your bag. And I can't get colon cancer as a result of it because it was removed, and I don't have to worry about that any longer. But as far as cancer, I'm in complete remission. As far as living what I've lived through, that's going to be the rest of my life. And that's why I do what I do, because I'm determined not to have people wind up in the place
terrific.
That I...
That's great.
Yeah.
Because... if they don't listen to anybody, who else would they listen to?
Yeah.
Somebody like you.
Yeah.
Hardballed it.
I tell these organizations, if I was Brad Pitt or was great looking, would you put me on an ad? But I'm not Brad Pitt or great looking. So. But yeah, I mean, there aren't many people walking around that can tell my story. And it's the ironic thing, Dave, is people that want to talk to me don't really want to hear the nitty gritties as much as they just want to know, wow. You survived.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Tell me about it. I had a guy today that came through my American Cancer Recovery Coach. I called him. He wasn't feeling great, so he wanted me to call him back at another time. But when we briefly talked about me being a two-time survivor and almost a third, his comment was, wow, because he's just going through it now. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I need to talk to you, because you want to give him hope.
Right.
American Cancer Society has a goal that by 2018, they want to have 80% of the people tested for colonoscopies, because you talked about colonoscopy.
What is it out now?
It's called 80 by 18. It's about 66%.
That's not too bad.
But that whole
34%.
Whole third people that aren't getting it done are missing the boat and could wind up with advanced colon cancer. And I spouted out the statistics.
Like we said, it's nothing.
Nothing.
Good gosh.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Semicolon Club. Talk about the evolution of that.
Okay, so upon my second bout, when they give you that...
Oh, let's stop here a second first. I'm glad you're doing okay.
Thank you. So I was diagnosed 12 years ago, then 3 years later, second bout. And when they give you this kind of statistics that they give you, that you're going to have to go through chemotherapy again, that you're going to need surgery again, that you're going to have to go through everything you just went through 3 years earlier... And there's not a great chance of beating it. I was pretty distraught about that. Mm-hmm. And as I've said and repeated on other occasions, I sent a couple letters to a couple people, one my wife, one my good buddy, kind of saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't even know if I'm going to make it through the surgery. I was that unsure that they were going to open me up and put me back together again. So when I did survive... And a year later, when I had gone through it and felt strong again, is when I started the Semicolon Club. Just a play on words, because at the time you didn't have all of your colon. You had some resection done, and you lost parts of it.
I like the title. It's a great title.
Semicolon Club. Now, with not having a colon, I'm thinking of changing it to I don't have a colon at all club, but I think I'll probably leave it. But that was the advent of it. I wanted to get that message out. I felt like it was my opportunity to sell the passion that I have of sharing my story with others so that it didn't become their story. So we started the Semicolon Club. It's a small little organization.
Sure.
It's a nonprofit.
Started?
About 7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is to raise awareness, education about colon cancer and things that can lead to it, being an advocate. We're nonprofit. I don't do it to raise a ton of money, although it's always nice to be able to do it. I do it to raise awareness. I speak to people. I speak to organizations. I have a walk. I do these kind of interviews. I do newspaper interviews. I do radio and TV interviews with nothing more than trying to get the word out. That's our moniker. That's our slogan. That's our on our card, get the word out. We want to get the word out that this is a preventable, treatable and beatable disease.
Right. Do you work with any other organizations?
Well,
you said the American Cancer
Society. Yeah, we have donated and worked with other organizations, certainly the American Cancer Society. We've given out scholarships at a local high school for people who've been affected by cancer. We've given to some cancer organizations some of the monies that we raise. And we just try to partner up with all and any of those that think what we're trying to do is useful and positive, whether it be Johns Hopkins Hospital or places like that, St. Joe. That's our purpose, is to try to just, again, raise awareness, get the word out, and try and make a difference each and every day.
So in the 7 or 8 years, have you seen a difference?
I do, in the sense... I mean, just from my own personal experience, I've talked tons of people into colonoscopies. That's number one. And I've got all kinds of war stories. Mm-hmm. I've shared a couple. I had a guy call me or run into my wife who asked me to do an intervention with his wife because his wife's father was going through colon cancer. She was in her 50s and never had a colonoscopy. Would I talk to her? She'd probably kill me and him, he said, but... Would I? And I did. Mm-hmm. And I got her to do that. So in my way of thinking, maybe I saved her life.
Yeah, you did.
So I think people are becoming more aware. I think it's a little bit more out there.
Less stigmatized.
And, from my own personal experience, if I can save one life, if I can make a difference in one person's life, if not more, by getting them to do things properly or handle if they get the diagnosis or stay on top of it or advocate – then I feel like we are making a difference. So I do see the world changing hopefully continues to change, because it's still a tough thing to talk about. I know plenty of people who are diagnosed with cancer that don't want to talk about it and don't want to share, and that's okay. And I've just elected, unlike my childhood and my young adult life, to strip myself down a little differently and to share as much as I can. So I do see that.
That helps them, because there's a lot of people that are naturally like that. Whether they have cancer or not, they won't share too much about themselves. To hear your stories, they know, okay, well, there's a kindred spirit there for one thing. And it will help in me going on, I would think.
I hope. I don't have any measuring stick.
No.
Other than knowing that people have told me that they wouldn't have gotten a colonoscopy if they had heard me, seen me, talked to me, or I'd scared them into it, one or the other. And just like this young guy who was recently diagnosed, he's going to be fine. He's going to make it. I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been—it's a lot easier talking to him now than it would have been a year from now or 2 years from now, when it maybe have been too late. That's my greatest fear, Dave, is to wake up tomorrow and have a friend of mine call me who didn't listen to me, who wasn't following my advice, and told me that kind of news, and I have to tell their children or their wife why I didn't convince my good friend to listen to me. That's my greatest fear.
Yeah, but on the other side of that, it's your greatest accomplishment that you get somebody in there that anybody – I mean, somebody could have had a predisposition for it too.
Absolutely.
And they've caught it even beforehand. So
absolutely.
That's terrific. You told me currently what's going on. What do you see yourself and Semicolon Club in, even 3 months to 5 years down the line?
Well, I kiddingly say I'm not Brad Pitt or great looking. So if I were, somebody scoop up our organization and put it on the front page and on the front stage, because I don't think there's a whole lot of advocates walking around.
I don't think so either.
And I am.
In my job, I do a lot of research on different things. I've never really come across anything. That's why I smiled and laughed when he said Semicolon Club, because it's a great play on words and such like that. And I have had two colonoscopies myself, and my father had colon cancer, and I was thinking of a club there because I know people that have had it and say, it's nothing,
Right. I would hope that I continue to do what I do and make a difference. I would hope that we can expand our presence and our horizon. Mm-hmm. I would hope that I can reach more and more people as the message gets out and they hear about me. I would hope that people want to take advantage of someone who's willing, without any preconceived notions or having an ulterior motive, other than to just help make a difference, get on their stage and talk the talk, and because he's walked the walk.
Right.
We continue to have a walk, which we do every year. We'll continue to try to promote and advocate and PR and get on radios and television and let people know what we're up to. The funniest thing is when I run into people who see me, who know my story or heard my story, and they'll look at me and say, wow, you look great. Like, as if to say, with all the, you've been through. Nobody would know, I would think, upon seeing me, that I've been through what I've been through. And there's a reason for that. I won't allow myself to be that way, because I want to get in front of people and make a difference. And if I'm well as me and all the troubles I've gone through, and
they see how you look now.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, then they say, "Oh, well,
yeah,
I think I'll believe this."
Yeah,
guy.
So I'm a big believer in that, and I believe that we're going to continue to grow and continue to make a difference. And if my legacy is all that I have in my life, and it's written that I saved or helped, one or two or ten, it's sure a lot better than not making a difference. I hope the Semicolon Club and myself will be able to do that.
This is an introductory. I always do introductions and such, so we cover bits and pieces of everything. But I hope it becomes an ongoing program, if you're willing to come back and update me. And I would just do a current program about it. Because like you said, it's not a whole lot out there, I don't think. And this is very preventable and very easy to do, test it on too.
Right.
And so if you're willing...
I think we should get the word out, Dave. Together, I think we can partner out. They can get in touch with me. I have a website, phone number, whatever they might want.
Which you'll give in a minute.
Yeah, and that way, besides people hearing my story and saying, wow, because he's made it.
And looks so good.
Yeah, right, for me. they want to hear, what it's been like or what maybe they can expect, and questions and answers. you know, people have a lot of questions on their mind, but they're afraid to ask them.
Sure.
You know how the teachers used to say, no question was a bad question.
Right.
In my world, that's what I find a lot of people feel like, oh, I don't want to ask a dumb question. Yeah. I don't want to raise my hand and look stupid. But no question's a bad question in our business of trying to help people in the world that we're in. And you know, through your program and others, people are raising their hands and asking questions, and that's important.
Yeah, well, I hope that we could do that, and I hope that I have listeners around the world and such. And so, you know, we get all the different views from people that have been in similar situations as you, and also, you know, to help other people and stuff like that. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thanks for having me. That's the most important thing. Thanks for helping me.
My pleasure. This
to make that
terrific.
Difference.
Yeah. Very good.
Appreciate it.
So give some contact info here.
Okay. The organization, the actual organization that I do the recovery coaching is the American Cancer Society, of course. And if you're interested in becoming a recovery coach, people that help others who've been diagnosed, that's one of the reasons I'm here today. My organization is called the Semicolon Club, S-E-M-I-C-O-L-O-N Club. And we're easy enough to find, www.semicolonclub.org, one long word, 410-960-9962. You can email me at eblumberg, B-L-U-M-B-E-R-G, at semicolonclub.org. And, you know, I'm always there 24-7. If you feel like it'd be easier to talk, I do have some disability from my chemotherapy. My hands are a little incapacitated, so I can talk a lot better than I can type out long responses.
Proved that today.
Yeah, see, I could do a 10-hour radio show, but I can't do a 10-minute type. So
go with your strengths.
I go with my strengths. So, and Dave, your show, and you know, and thank you for that opportunity of being a part of it, because I think places like yours and people that you reach out to, and the audience that I can't see. That you can contact and reach and lend a hand to can gain a lot and make it a win-win opportunity for all of us.
Well, great. Thank you very much for saying that. But also, I wanted to say your website is not just for people from Baltimore or people from Maryland.
It's
everybody.
Everybody, absolutely.
So that's what we can kind of join forces on. Mine's for everyone, yours for everyone. Not that it wouldn't be, but you know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of people say, oh, that's Baltimore and all.
There are
programs that are in there. I mean, if you're from, you know, anywhere.
I've talked to people in Japan. I've talked to people in Australia. I've talked to people on the West Coast, Northwest, East Coast, you name it. So, no, we're a national organization, if you will, although I, you know, live and reside here. If I could make a difference to anybody anywhere, that's what we're trying to do. So, by to be sure, it's not just a Baltimore-based.
Great.
And go on the website and see if we can be of any help, you know, point it in our direction.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for being here. Talking to Edel Blumberg. He's a Reisterstown, Maryland resident, a 2.5-time colon cancer survivor. He is American Cancer Society recovery coach, and he's got a great website to help you if you have colon cancer or to tell you, get tested, and it's semicolon.org. Semicolonclub.org. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just testing you there.
Yeah. Like friend and lover, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it was off stage. Oh, see, he's got me. He's going to get me that further. You'll have to tune in later to hear about what that's about. But thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
This has been Healthcare and Its Future. I'm Dave Custy, and this is Baltimore Internet Radio.